It's a lot of women that's coming out, you know, and expressing themselves about what happened to them.
I really hope the Me Too movement is propelling us in that direction where assaulting people has consequences.
I think it's important that we listen to all of the women that are coming out and telling their stories and work on how we can engage them in a healing process.
The Me Too movement has led many people to share their experiences with sexual harassment and sexual assault. It has sparked conversations and controversy and maybe even change. I'm Charity Nebbe. Look for Unsettled, Mapping Me Too, a new podcast from Iowa Public Radio in the iTunes Store and on Google Play, or find it at iowapublicradio.org.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. A milestone reached this weekend. The past weekend, Iowa's first medical cannabis dispensaries opened. So this hour, we want to look at what's changed on Iowa's medical marijuana landscape. If you remember, it was way back in 2014 that the ball started to roll in this area. Iowa passed a very limited law that allowed epileptic patients to possess certain cannabis oils for treatment. This is a further step in that. We'll talk in a few moments with the general manager of MedPharm. That's our state's only operational manufacturer of CBD. And also with a member of the state's Cannabidiol Advisory Board. That's the captain of the Mason City Police Department who will be joining us, a captain at that police department, joining us in just a few minutes. We hope you'll join us as well. Do you or a loved one benefit from medical cannabis? Does this milestone this weekend mean anything to you, the opening of dispensaries? What questions do you have about medical cannabis in Iowa? 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. You can also email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Returning to our program, Sally Gayer. Sally, are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Afternoon.
Just into the afternoon, aren't we, Sally? Welcome back to our program. You were on our program earlier this year. You are the mother of now I think a 27-year-old daughter, Margaret, who has epilepsy, and she has benefited from CBD oil. And so we wanted to ask you, did you visit a dispensary this weekend?
We sure did. We went to Windsor Heights on Saturday morning.
Okay, so what did you find there?
Oh my gosh, we found a lot of people in line, which was exciting. And
You say a lot, how many?
I don't know, 20 at least in the morning, 30. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a lot of folks there in that pouring down terrible rain weather.
All right.
Yeah.
And so when you line up, you need to have your paperwork ready, or do they provide the documents, or tell us about the process?
MedPharm has been really good at reaching out, and we were able to complete our paperwork beforehand and actually go into the dispensary and have a consultation. So that all didn't have to take place that morning, and things were already input into the system, so it was ready to go so we could purchase product.
Mm-hmm. You had to go in, pick up a package after showing your identification, I assume, pick up the package, pay for it, and off you went?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did the others seem to be in similar condition there, having prepared so well?
Yeah, I think they were. I think people were really excited to be able to have access to something to help.
Mm-hmm. Tell us again, for those who didn't hear you when you were on our program a while back, tell us about your daughter's condition, Margaret's condition.
Yeah, Margaret has Dravet syndrome, D-R-A-V-E-T, a rare catastrophic form of epilepsy that's marked by very hard to control seizures. She turned 28 last February, so she's looking forward to being 29, which she talks about every day. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
excited about that.
Oh, she loves Christmas and her birthday. Yeah.
All right. So tell us a little bit more about her condition. How much, you are her caregiver, primary caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
How much care does she need? What does she need help with at the
age of 28? Yeah, at the age of 28, she needs 24-hour around-the-clock care. She probably had a little Barney watching marathon this weekend. She's about 4 to 5 developmentally, and of course, can't drive and can't care for herself. We're fortunate in the Dravet syndrome realm that she can walk and talk. And feed herself and those kind of things. But she always has to have someone with her to look out for seizures and self-care.
Right. Tell us about the difference that CBD oil made when you discovered it in relation to her epilepsy.
Initially, she lost weight, which was a really good side effect. A lot of seizure medications can cause weight gain. We were able to lower the doses of the pharmaceuticals, which have terrible side effects. And she slept better, which has been huge. Sleeping better, of course, is good for the brain.
How long ago was this? Did you try it out?
We started in 2015 when the rules were finally written and we were finally able to legally possess CBD oil in Iowa. So it wasn't until 2015.
She got to a better weight. She was able to sleep better. What about those seizures?
The seizures went down and we lowered some of her pharmaceuticals. And so we're kind of playing a little game of lowering the pharmaceuticals, and maybe that was too much, and, you know, what else can we try? So we would love to have access to THCA, maybe a little more THC, some of the other cannabinoids that we can't access in Iowa, to see if those would help her as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so explain that. You're really in-depth. You're an advocate here as well. We can talk about that with the you're on the board for the Epilepsy Foundation in Iowa here. THC, when we talk about the components that interest us in cannabis, CBD is one of them. Mm-hmm. That is what this oil is processed for. But THC is the substance that makes you high when you take cannabis. You eat it, you smoke it, whatever, right?
Well, it can be put in an oil. It can be put in a cream for pain, actually. It can be buffered with the CBD to kind of take away the psychoactive effects. So they work together synergistically. The folks that are recreational users are basically just looking for THC to get high. The people that really need this medically need the whole plant to work together to help relieve their symptoms. Mm-hmm. And create healing in the body.
And what is your understanding of why our law arrived at a 3% THC boundary cap?
In a word, Clell Bodler, he was kind
of a lawmaker.
A lawmaker who is now retired, and he really went to bat when he met our kids with epilepsy, and he did a lot of investigating, and he was very wary of THC at all, but he found that in Colorado, for the children with epilepsy, that 3% THC was probably high enough to help. And so he was willing to allow 3% THC.
Mm-hmm. And he had influence over a lot of other Republican lawmakers?
Mm-hmm. When Maria and LaFrance and I first talked to then Speaker of the House Craig Paulson in 2013. He told us, if you can sway Clell Bodler, you have a chance.
Mm-hmm. And his stipulation was a 3% cap on THC.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sally Gayer is with us. If you just joined us, the caregiver of an adult daughter, Margaret, with epilepsy, has been helped tremendously by CBD oil, and now is marking, along with the rest of Iowa, the opening of Iowa's first medical cannabis dispensaries. And it's nearly 1,500 Iowans already registered for the program. Sally, stay with us. Also with us, Lucas Nelson. He's the general manager of MedFarm. MedFarm is the state's only operational manufacturer of CBD. Lucas Nelson, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
How did it go? How did your first weekend? I know you've been ramping up for a long time. Tell us.
Yes. Saturday especially was just a real whirlwind of emotions, of accomplishment. It was truly incredible to see the look on people's faces, to hear some of their stories that this was finally officially available for them. I can't even put into words the overall happiness that people felt. So it was truly touching for all of the MedFarm staff to finally be able to deliver these products. great day, saw a lot of patients, helped a lot of people, I think. And, you know, this is just one step, but it was certainly a good first step.
Where were you on Saturday?
I spent my time at Windsor Heights at our dispensary there, doing everything from helping to get people checked in to talking with folks about some of the products we have available and how these things might help them. And otherwise troubleshooting, I'll have to give a shout out to the Department of Public Health. They did an excellent job with just a small technical glitch we had right at the beginning. But outside of the first 30 minutes, we were cranking the rest of the day, which was a great sign. There's a number of programs that have rolled out and had all sorts of errors. We were almost error-free, which was just excellent.
Mm-hmm. A number of dispensaries opened. Two of them are also run by MedPharm, the manufacturer. You run them as
correct.
Well. And
yep.
One of those is Windsor Farm, Windsor Heights.
Yes, Windsor Heights, and the other is in Sioux City.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So tell us, what you said, very emotional, very inspirational. What did you hear? What story did you hear that stayed with you so far?
Yeah, you know, there were countless patients who came in and were talking about how they really felt like they were out of options until this was here. They felt like, you know, an opioid wasn't working for them or was something they weren't interested in, and surgery hadn't worked for them. You know, their medical treatment thus far had really left them feeling like they had no hope, that they couldn't get out of bed, or that if they could get out of bed, they really weren't able to live a regular, typical life. They weren't able to do some of the things they used to like to do, whether that was running or just simply walking with their loved one. And, you know, a lot of those folks are able to express, hey, I know that once I do this, once I'm on this, I'm going to be able to get some of those things back. I'm going to be able to sort of take my life back from the disease and the pain they're suffering from. And that was just absolutely heartwarming. We heard even on Sunday from patients who had come in on Saturday and said, hey, I wanted to let you know I went right home. Tried this. This is the first time I've been able to, you know, stand up. This is the first time I've been able to sleep through the night. Those stories are just absolutely amazing and really were part of the main driving factor for why MedPharm wanted to get into this space in Iowa in the first place.
What can you give us for numbers for your opening weekend, your opening days here?
Yeah, so we saw about 100 patients on Saturday in Windsor Heights. We saw another 15 to 20 on Sunday. We knew Sunday would be a bit limited, you know, just as a day that we're usually not going to be open. We had a driving rain on Saturday and then some snow flurries here on Sunday, and still were able to see that many patients. In Sioux City, we had a little bit smaller numbers. We saw about 10 or 15 and then a couple more on Sunday. So although that sounds like a small number, that's actually about half of the patients or more that have been registered in Sioux City. So that was great to be able to catch all of them and be able to meet with all those patients even in the middle of blizzard-like conditions. So I'm hopeful that as Sioux City clears out some of the snow, we'll be able to see even more. But of course, as I'm sure we'll talk about later in the program, there are certainly hurdles to getting more patients in the door mm-hmm. in places like Sioux City.
Mm-hmm. So how many Iowans are registered for this program?
Yeah, you know, the final number that came down from the department, there's a couple different figures. The folks who had actually went and picked up their card, that number came in right around 700. Now, we know there are several hundred more that are in the pipeline. That pipeline may be that they've already been approved and just simply haven't picked up their card from the Department of Transportation, which is an added step that most states, in fact, all states except for Iowa, do not have, and we do here. So that's, you know, just another step that patients have to go through, and that can be very difficult to even get to the Department of Transportation and pick up that card. And, of course, you know, wait in line, those sorts of things. And then I know we have a number of patients that are also working through their application process right now. The department was rolling through about 100 a week here in November. So mm-hmm. I do expect those numbers to increase. But there are still more Iowans who simply don't know about this, don't know how to get into the program, right. Have questions about it. And we've got to continue to help those people learn.
Did you get a sense that the patients coming in the doors, those seeking the CBD products that you have, had been getting their product out of state up to now, or were these first-timers who were going to wait until it was legal here in Iowa to buy?
Yeah, you know, I think the first couple people that came in certainly probably were those who had gone out of state to either get CBD or THC. for their condition. But, you know, I think outside of our first batches of patients, no, most people were a little new to this and didn't quite know exactly what to expect, had a lot of questions about when to take this, how much to take, what should I do if I feel no benefit, if I feel a side effect, how do I work through those? Of course, those are all questions that we expected and were well prepared to answer. But no, I think we were even maybe a bit surprised on how few people came through our doors that had never experimented with any sort of medical cannabis before. And nonetheless, we're still very, very excited about this opportunity.
If just joined us, Lucas Nelson is with us, general manager of MedPharm. That's the state's only operational manufacturer of medical cannabis. Dispensaries opened for the first time this past weekend in Iowa. Sally Gare is with us as well, caregiver of an adult daughter with epilepsy who's benefited from CBD oil. If you'd like to join us with your questions, or perhaps this impacts you or may impact you, you might have a question. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org. Lucas, staying with you, what went into getting this open? You've been at this for years.
Yes, hard to capture in words all of the things that went into this. From the moment we submitted our 450-page application that I helped write, you know, we were kind of on this journey. We knew all along that this was something we wanted to get in once Iowa approved it. We knew that we had the ability to bring the science to this space where it is, you know, truly lacking in most states. At the same time, that didn't necessarily make it any easier to get through the process. We were doing all sorts of construction, obviously, for our facility over the past year, including staging it so that we could start our plants growing ahead of even having our labs ready. That was really the only way we could meet the December 1st deadline, which the Department of Public Health has informed us is one of the quickest, if not the quickest, turnaround time for bill passage to go live date. So, mm-hmm.
So you were given the go flag on what date?
I think it was officially about November 28th or 9th of 2017, mm-hmm. and had a year basically to get on the shelves.
And so you have to get growing areas in the state?
Exactly, yes. We had to get our entire grow facility up and running. So that was multiple rooms for the plant's different stages of its life that we had to build from scratch. And we also had to put together our entire manufacturing process. So that's the drying, the harvesting, the extraction, and then, of course, all of the formulating. So our QC lab and our formulation lab that are just like most scientific labs you might see in another manufacturer. And then we also are responsible for packaging, labeling, and delivering. So we had to have that whole process down and ready to go to make sure that we were able to deliver these products around the state on time.
Mm-hmm. Sally mentioned the 3% THC cap. That is, by Iowa law, something you need to abide by. And so you extract substances from, well, just tell us, how do you arrive at acceptable products, legal products?
Yeah, so we have plants of all various levels of CBD, THC, and some of the other cannabinoids in the plants. And they'll go through our full manufacturing process. We extract the oils from dried plant material. And really through there, it goes through a number of formulating steps, basically purifying it. It's at that point that we still have, pretty high content THC, high content CBD oil, and that's really where this cap starts to rear its head. At that point, we then have to dilute down our formulas to make sure that we're in compliance with that 3% cap. What that means is that we're adding in some other fillers that really aren't necessarily doing anything, or are certainly not related to the cannabis plant, but that we're having to do because there's this 3% cap in place. For capsules, that means adding some extra ingredients in there that are filler for the most part. For tinctures, that's the same thing. It's adding in more so that we can get to this 3% by volume. And mm-hmm. of course, it's just, there's all sorts of troublesome effects for us, but really where it causes the most problem is for those patients, for those, 10, 20, 30 patients that came in and said, wait, I have to get to what dose? And I'm not going to be able to do that unless I buy multiple bottles of tincture oil, or I take multiple capsules each time I need the medicine. It's just, it's quite frustrating.
So they're looking for a different level of THC to go along with the CBD. Is that right? How do you explain that?
Yeah, I think the quickest and easiest way to understand is that, like with all medicine, patients have a dose they need to get to. And that dose may be 5 milligrams, it may be 20 milligrams, it may be 100 milligrams. That dose doesn't change. It's just like anyone taking any sort of over-the-counter medicine or pharmaceutical medicine, you have a specific dose you're trying to get to. Mm-hmm. Because of this 3% cap, using the capsules as an example, we're only able to, say, get 10 milligrams into a capsule. If you need 80 milligrams, that's going to take you 8 capsules, where if we didn't have that in place, we'd be able to manufacture capsules that maybe you'd only need 2, or maybe you'd need 3, which is still a fairly large number, but is certainly not 8. And of course, if you're taking 8, you're going to be buying more, you're going to be paying for more, and this is an out-of-pocket expense right now. So it really can be troublesome for patients to get to those doses, again, that they need every single day in any effective way.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the products, the allowed products that you sell at your dispensaries.
Yeah, right now we're fairly limited in Iowa. We are offering oils and capsules and creams. Each one of those products has a number of different formulations available within that product type. So, for instance, with our tinctures, we have a balanced mixture that we call Harmony. That's a balanced ratio of THC and CBD, so same equal parts. And then we also have an elevated CBD called Calm, and we have an elevated THC that's called Comfort. And so each one of those are really designed around certain conditions that have been approved here and give us a way to help people receive CBD if that's what they need, or THC if that's what they need, or a mixture of both, again, depending on the specific condition. But, you know, even the forms are causing problems for us too, because there are patients out there right now in Iowa who simply can't, you know, swallow a capsule, or they have a hard time swallowing oil even. We don't really have a good inhaled method. I know it's something that Captain McKelvey may want to speak to too. The board has certainly been trying to add another form, but there's absolutely no doubt that we need another inhaled version, hopefully something like a vaporization, in order to treat some of those patients that otherwise can't take these products orally. So hopefully we keep working there. But and you know, the other thing I'll mention is that, for of course, for further details on all of those formulations and product type, we have all that info on our website to really walk our patients through what's available.
Why don't you give that website?
Yeah, our website is MedPharmIowa.com, all one word.
Okay, we've got to go to break in just a minute. Lucas Nelson, tell us, though, anybody wanting to take advantage of this, needs this medicine, needs to do what? Talk to their own doctor, right?
Yeah, the real first important step is getting into the program. They do that by talking to their doctor, having their doctor certify their condition. And from there, of course, they're just simply sending in the application and getting their card. And, of course, more info on our website about that as well.
Okay, we'll be back. Lucas Nelson will stay with us, general manager of MedPharm. That is the state's only operational manufacturer. Dispensaries opened in Iowa on Saturday. Sally Geyer is with us. Her daughter, her adult daughter, has epilepsy and has been helped by CBD oil. Perhaps you have a story to tell or questions about medical cannabis. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Back in just a moment. I'm Ben Kiefer. And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This past weekend, Iowa's first medical cannabis dispensaries opened in various parts of the state. We're looking at how Iowa's medical marijuana landscape changes with this step. We have Lucas Nelson with us. He's the general manager of MedPharm. That's the state's only operational manufacturer. Also runs two of the dispensaries in Iowa, Windsor Heights and Sioux City, I believe. Also Sally Geyer, caregiver of an adult daughter with epilepsy, being helped by CBD oil. Perhaps you'd like to join us. 1-866-780-9100. William Rose and his son, Christian, visited one of Iowa's new medical marijuana dispensaries this weekend, the one in Sioux City, as a matter of fact. Katie Pikus of IPR spoke with him. Christian, William's son, has autism and ADHD, and he's been prone to seizures. William says the seizure meds Christian was taking were having some nasty side effects, and they like having the option to use CBD because they feel it's more natural than alternative medications. He says he's relieved now that Iowa's CBD dispensaries are open.
We don't have to go to Colorado every 3 months. It was, we'd have to get out a stack of cash and cross through Nebraska, and supposedly we'd be okay with our card and as long as we followed the Iowa's law, but, you know, that's still federally illegal to be, you know, crossing state lines and, you know, for a kid. It was kind of terrifying. But, yeah, we can get it now, so it's pretty good.
William Rose also says he was worried about what the cost of Christian's medication, his son's medication, would be in Iowa.
I was afraid. I know what we were paying out there, and then, you know, here, I was afraid they were going to, you know, jack the price up. But, you know, they're real competitive, and as long as you got your paperwork filled out, you're in and out, and that's, yeah, we can get going and doing our regular errands for the day.
So what does this weekend's opening of dispensaries for medical marijuana mean for you? 1-866-780-9100. We want to get to our phones in just a few minutes. But first, let's also talk to Captain Mike McKelvey. He is a captain with the Mason City Police Department, also on the state's Cannabidiol Advisory Board. Captain McKelvey, welcome to the program.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us, what's your perspective? You wear a couple different hats here, law enforcement, but you're also on the advisory board. What is your reaction to this first weekend after hearing from, I assume, various perspectives how it went?
Yeah, so far, I mean, we did not hear of any problems or issues, so it sounds like there was a pretty decent opening without many issues.
Mm-hmm. What, going into this weekend, what issues or concerns were foremost in your mind?
I think the state of Iowa and the Department of Health has been pretty systematic in their regulation and kind of implementing this program slowly, cautiously, looking at other states on mistakes and successes other states have made. So I think we tried to avoid any mistakes or missteps other states may have made. So again, it's a little slow and cautious, but I think that's by design.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to our phones. So join us, 1-866-780-9100. Let's go to Carolyn, is in Mason City. Hi, Carolyn. Welcome to the program. What's your interest in this topic?
Hello, everyone, and thank you for accepting my call. I have my dad. He's in his 80s, and he suffers from neuropathy. And I've heard, you know, there's like arthritis, you know, creams for pain relief for people like him. And I'm wondering, well, here in Iowa, like, number one, like, do they have like samples? I don't expect them free, but, you know, samples to see what formulas will work for people.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, he's a veteran. And it's kind of with the medical care with veterans here in Iowa. You know, we live in a small town. They have a satellite office. But majority of the time, he has to go all the way down to Des Moines for major tests and stuff like that. So he doesn't see the same doctors all the time. So I wonder if the MediPharm knows, gentleman knows, like, you know, okay, is he working with veterans? Does he know the procedure?
Okay, very good, Carolyn. In Mason City, we can go to a couple different guests here. Lucas Nelson, what do you have to say, advice? Probably similar questions you got over the weekend by
sure,
by the loadful, right?
No, you're exactly right. I'll start with the first one that Carolyn brought up was the samples. I'll note that we do have some trial size versions of our capsules available. So those would be our Harmony and our Comfort blends. So our balanced CBD to THC, and then also our little bit more elevated THC. We don't have a trial size in the cream, but we do have a very strong pain relief cream that just might work there for you. But something we could certainly talk about further if you were able to make it in, or even give us a call at the dispensary. And then, You know, that second issue is exactly one of the ones that I think I wish Iowa was working on. How do we better serve our vets? How do we better serve people who just simply can't get to the dispensary at all or can't find a doctor? Instead, we're still battling on this 3% cap and what conditions. It's very frustrating. I will say that this issue of finding a doctor is certainly been one of the biggest ones holding this program back. Carolyn, in your specific situation, it is good to note that any doctor that your father would be seeing who would be a licensed DO or MD licensed in the state of Iowa would be permitted to certify his condition. So even if you're seeing multiple doctors, as long as they were able to fill out the other parts of the certification that they'd gone through and knew that he did have the particular condition, that sort of thing, it would be able to be certified by any of those docs.
Mm-hmm. Lucas Nelson, how do you size up the current relationship with the medical community? How many doctors are on board here? How much awareness would you say, as a CBD oil product producer, how much awareness needs to be raised? Education.
Yeah, there certainly, absolutely is more education that needs to be done. We are looking at about 200 or 300 docs who currently have certified a condition in this state. There are between 6,000 and 7,000 doctors in total. Too many members of the medical community still believe that this is illegal for them to do. They can't be having these conversations, and they certainly can't be prescribing medical cannabis. And while they cannot prescribe medical cannabis, that fact is true, that's not what they're required to do here in Iowa. They are certifying that the condition, that a patient in front of them has a particular condition that's been approved. Certification is very different than a prescription. Mm-hmm. And the second aspect of making sure that the medical community knows is that they're actually specifically protected by the Iowa law for as long as they're complying with this program. So we've got to get more members of the medical community understanding those couple aspects and then being able to tap into all of the research that's been done both in the United States and across the world. The WHO has a great report. There's a number of states that have compiled information from healthcare providers about what it's been like in their states. So there's a ton of information out there, and it's just a matter of spending a couple minutes knowing that your patients are going to have these questions.
Captain McKelvey with the Mason City Police Department on the state's cannabidiol advisory board. How many conditions are approved this state right now? What can people receive CBD for?
Right now, I believe there are approximately 8. Cancer, multiple sclerosis, seizures, AIDS or HIV, Crohn's disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, and various terminal illnesses. Now, I think we recently made a motion to add ulcerative colitis to that, and I don't know if that's been approved yet, but that's pretty similar to Crohn's. So those would be the main ones besides the epilepsy and Dravet syndrome.
Mm-hmm. And Lucas Nelson, what would you name that should be on that list that isn't?
Yeah, I think even going back to the vets community, PTSD is certainly one of the biggest conditions that has been approved in a number of other states. There's some real good research that's come out of some of the states that have programs and also some of the other countries that have programs as well. The board did entertain a decision on that, and they were split, which means that it did not get added. So that'll be one that MedPharm, along with hopefully many members of other veterans groups and simply others who are suffering from PTSD, can take that up with the legislature, because it's just simply too important to not continue the fight for that particular condition.
Mm-hmm. Captain McKelvey, give us a sense of the discussions on the board when you decide which conditions are okayed for use of this product and which are not. What are the fears? What are the concerns? Why are some left off?
Sure. There's a ton of things that go into the board's consideration. We're pretty fortunate that the majority of the board, the other 7 members, are all medical professionals, so they're practicing doctors, pharmacists, et cetera, that kind of weigh a lot of the concerns. So, you know, dosage, side effects, is there any scientific evidence? One of the vacuums that we're faced with is there's a lack of industry-supported scientific evidence on the beneficial or negative effects of CBD.
Mm-hmm. And why is that? Is it because it's been illegal for so long? Is that why?
I would say that's probably the primary reason, and the federal government's scheduling and nixing various research of that. That's probably one of the largest reasons.
Right, and it is a Schedule I substance, which puts it in the category of what other company?
Off the top, I don't know.
Well,
Lucas,
maybe
you know.
Lucas, can you answer that?
Yeah, it's right up there with LSD and cocaine, I think, is a Schedule I. Mm-hmm. Drugs that really, truly have no benefit. Of course, we don't believe medical cannabis or cannabis in general would fall into that category by any means.
Mm-hmm. But it is, in terms of the federal law, it's still in that category.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. But, and in the state law as well, or not?
Right now, yes. There's been a little bit of movement on a particular statement around CBD that has certain very low levels of THC. That was rescheduled when Epidiolex, which is a pharmaceutical version of CBD oil, was approved by... here, I guess, in June of this year. So there's a slight adjustment to that, and Iowa's law would mirror that too. But no, most of the parts of the cannabis plant are still on that Schedule I list.
Okay, if you just joined us, Lucas Nelson with us, the medical manager of MedPharm, the state's only operational manufacturer of CBD products. Mike McKelvey, captain with the Mason City Police Department. He's also on the state's Cannabidiol Advisory Board, and Sally Gayer, caregiver of a daughter with epilepsy using CBD oil. Sally, did you want to get in here before we go back to the phones here? There's a lot of, we've been so many things to talk about here.
Yeah, I'd just like to add Parkinson's is on that list as well. And also
on the list that's allowed or not allowed?
Yes, allowed.
Okay.
Parkinson's is allowed, and there is so much research out there worldwide, medically sound research on the efficacy of cannabis. That I think that needs to truly be looked at, not just our federal government.
Okay, let's go to our phones. Chuck is with us in Des Moines. Hi, Chuck. What's your question for our guests?
Yes, I have a question for the MedPharm gentleman. Recently, you know, in the news, there's been some recalls with medications because of what they're using as fillers, preservatives, extenders, diluters. What are you guys using as you manufacture to do the dilutions, the extending, the preservating? Are these chemicals all safe for, say, cancer patients that will be taking CBD?
Yeah, so thanks for the question, Chuck. I'll first direct you to our website. They've got a list of every ingredient that's in any of our products. They do all go through our own internal testing to make sure that none of our ingredients, whether those are cannabis or the other carriers, make sure that none of them are contaminated or have any sort of other, you know, problems coming in. As far as the, you know, the specific whether or not it would interact with a particular pharmaceutical or a condition you may have, that's really one of the reasons that we have built out an intake form. So we can work through with each one of our patients, okay, let's understand what you are suffering from, what prescriptions you may be on, and then that will flag us to say, look, here's what's in each of these particular products, both the cannabis oils and the other ingredients, and make a decision on whether or not it's safe for you to be taking. But that was certainly something that went into our decision-making process as far as what you know, what ingredients we wanted to add in there or not add in. We wanted to make these all natural products. So that was certainly something important to us. And it's also important to not use, that we don't use any pesticides on our products as well. But, you know, I think I'd certainly direct you there to our website at the beginning. And then maybe one of the other things that's really important to note in our program is that All of our products go through external testing by a third-party lab that's done right now with the State Hygienic Lab at the University of Iowa. And a certificate of analysis is issued for every product to show what's in there and demonstrate that they are safe.
Lucas Nelson, I think John, listening in the Quad Cities, has a question about testing. Hi, John. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi. A very clinical question. Why has this substance not been subject to clinical research? If you know or if you don't know, do you know why?
Okay, John, who wants to tackle that? Is that for you also, Lucas?
Sure, I'm happy to start. I will note that in the United States versus the rest of the country, we're in two different situations. There has been some clinical work performed on cannabis pharmaceuticals. It's happened in the UK for a variety of drugs and in other places in the world. Here in the U.S., I think the first place to point to is the fact that this is a controlled substance on that Schedule One, like we mentioned. That's why there's been this issue of getting some of that clinical research done here in the United States. There's only one plant right now that is growing any cannabis for research. It's down at the University of Mississippi. The products coming out of there are just simply not great for testing in the first place. So a number of states have looked at how we can develop programs, research programs, around getting some more clinical data. I know Pennsylvania is at kind of the forefront of those rules. I hope that that's something that Iowa focuses on here in the next legislative session. I know we will be pushing for that. We think it's very important to find ways to make sure that is being done to generate more and more data. Again, we feel strongly about the data that is out there now, but there's certainly always room for more.
Okay. Harry in Ames. I have to ask you to make it very quick, Harry. We're coming up to the end of the hour. Welcome to the program, though.
Hello. I understand the cautions expressed by the person from Mason City who's on the board. My question is, since there's always a placebo effect and we've seen things come and go that were miracle cures, has anything been talked about or is anything in the works for this product to be available for dogs with seizures?
Dogs with dogs, seizures.
No placebo effect with a dog.
Well, we wouldn't think so. Captain McKelvey, anything to say about pets with seizures? Talked about that with the advisory board at all?
No. Okay. Ours has been person
okay.
oriented.
Lucas no. Nelson, anything to say to that?
Yeah, I'd say right now this program has been completely focused on humans.
Okay. Let's keep with that. Thanks for the question, though. Interesting. I know there are a lot of pets out there that do have seizures. Let's go around to each of you and have you look forward to what your hopes are, what you expect for. Captain McKelvey, you first. What does the state's cannabidiol advisory board have when we look into 2019?
Well, I think they're open-minded. Some of the recommendations we'll probably end up making is that not only physicians, but maybe mid-level professionals such as like a nurse practitioner or physician assistant may be able to certify someone's medical condition.
Mm-hmm.
Just for rural Iowa, there's kind of a shortage of physicians sometimes. So that would be one of the things I think we're going to lobby for here coming up.
Lucas Nelson, 30, 40 seconds for you, and then we'll end up with Sally.
Number one issue is removing that 3% THC cap, coming up with a cap that's more workable, maybe based on total active number of milligrams someone's buying. But in order to give our patients the doses they need, we have to have that removed.
And is there any is there any reason for the 3% cap? Is that arbitrary in your eyes?
We certainly believe it is, yes.
Okay. Sally Gayer, you have the final word, caregiver of an adult daughter. Who now has a real difference made in her life with CBD oil.
I would like to see more Iowans coming forward, sharing their stories, sharing their need, saying, I'm a patient, I deserve access to this, this is my condition, this is what I need, and CBD is not the only component of this plant that can heal me. Please listen to me and please help me because I may be addicted to opioids, chemo may be killing me. There's so many harmful side effects to the pharmaceuticals that have been approved and tried. I mean, look at how many people have died from Tylenol. No one has ever died from marijuana.
Mm-hmm. What are your hopes, Sally, for the coming legislative session?
I'm hoping the THC cap gets lifted. I'm hoping the medical community embraces this program and looks at how their patients can flourish and have a better life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just hoping, I mean, it feels like we've been fighting for so long to get the stigma out of the way, and there's still so much misunderstanding about everything.
Okay. Sally Gayer, thank you very much for sharing with us once again your experiences. Captain Mike McKelvey of the Mason City Police Department, thank you for joining us on the state's Cannabidiol Advisory Board. Captain, thank you.
Thank you.
And Lucas Nelson, I have a feeling we'll be talking with you again, General Manager of MedFarm, the state's only operational manufacturer. We appreciate you coming into our studio.
Appreciate the time, and let's keep the conversation going.
River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Caitlin Harrop, and Emily Woodbury. We also had help today from Alyssa Bovinet. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.